You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
The Supreme Court ruled that the NCAA, they have limits on what colleges can compensate for their athletes. I think those limits are they're necessary, but are they legal? The Supreme Court upheld lower court rulings that found out no, they don't think that it is legal. Now, it doesn't really open the door so wide for unlimited pay for play in college athletics, because the justices said the NCAA, they did say colleges must be allowed to recruit athletes by offering them additional compensation and benefits as long as they are tied to education. I think that's key, but I wonder how long that cord will hold. The NCAA, as a matter of fact, I think it was just yesterday, has got an interim policy out to kind of deal with this. They say it's just a stopgap measure. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at that and talk with a friend of mine from a little while ago. We'll just leave it at that. Jim O'Day, former athletic director at the University of Montana, and now Jim is a current senior managing partner at Strategic Management Partners, LLC. How you doing, Jim?
Good, Tom. Always good to talk to you. How are things down your way?
Oh, we're hanging in there. Yep. We're not
hanging in there.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, we're all getting ready to hit that 100-degree weather. So I guess we are hanging in there.
I know, but you're used to it. You're used to 100 below weather, too,
being from Cut Bank. Yeah, you know, when you're from Cut Bank, you're always used to about everything. You know, every 20 minutes it can change.
Well, I appreciate you being here. And I know that you and I, we've done programs in the past. Jim was the athletic mm-hmm. director at the University of Montana. I was on the sidelines doing sports there, football particularly, for about 15 years. We did a mm-hmm. pregame show for a long time, and I've so enjoyed that. But I know off mic that you and I would talk about these issues all the time, about the NCAA's grip, so to speak, on college athletics. And right now, it's sort of losing its grip, isn't it?
Well, it sure seems like it. You know, you stay in touch with a lot of different people, you know, that you were in the business with. And to a person, we all say, thank God we're not there anymore. You know, it's just there's just so much uncertainty out there. And I think, you know, every day there's one more challenge. I was talking to one of my friends the other day at Montana State, and he said, you know, just every day something new comes. And, you know, it's not like we're running teams and things like that. It's something that might be out of our control, and we're really not sure how we're going to address it. And, you know, and everything ultimately ends to the sad thing. It ends up to money. Well, you know what? It's a money issue here one way or another. So, yeah, there's a lot of challenges out there. You know, everybody's looking for the same thing, and it's just making it very, very difficult, I think, for administrators in intercollegiate athletics.
Before we get to the financial side of this, because that is a huge piece of it, how much do people, spectators, appreciate that there's a difference between amateurism athletics and professional or commercialized athletics? I know that line has blurred, and that's why we have the necessity for all these rulings. But how much do spectators know and appreciate the difference?
Well, I think when people are at the games, they don't. You know, it's not that big a thing. They're into the game. They're into whatever. I think it's more. You know, we get more of the media hype. We hear more things. Everybody. You know, when we've gone a while here in Montana where we really haven't had games, and I think when you get all that time and a lot of things build up, but I think, you know, it's just like if you watch the NBA, and I don't watch a lot of NBA, but you watch them and they are so good. And then it's kind of nice to go and see the amateurs, you know, when they're playing, because unfortunately they do make some mistakes. You know, they're not paid professionals. They're not perfect and everything, but to see what they do with the amount of time that they have available to them to practice and to get in shape and do all these different things, you know, it's such a difference. I mean, you rarely see NBA players, if they're open on a three-pointer, I don't care if they're a seven-footer or a six-footer, these people are going to make them. And that's just not the case. And I think people really understand that a little bit more. You know, everybody in their life, it's like going when you're golfing, you know, there's a little three-foot putt, and those pros make it look so easy, but the amateurs, you know, you get out there and do it yourself, it's a whole different thing, and I think they can relate so much more to that.
And I got to appreciate the fact that amateurism, is built on a different foundation. At least it was for a long time, and maybe this changes that, but they were doing it for their school. They were doing it for their education. They were doing it for themselves. They were not all going to be paid $1 million to make a three-pointer.
Correct.
Yeah. Will that be lost? Do people appreciate that enough to try and keep that? And was the NCAA a good or bad guard of that sort of door?
You know, I mean, the NCAA has got the things that it's got to do. I mean, it's yeah. much easier said than done, I have to believe. I mean, there's just so many things coming at them. But again, you know, the one thing we're very fortunate in a place like Montana is that when we watch games, you know, we're going to see amateurism. We're going to see a lot of Montana kids competing. They're there competing for their state, for their school, you know, for their friends and things like that. When you see the bigger schools, you know, that might be a little bit different, you know, because a lot of those guys can make it into the professional leagues. But, you know, we don't have that many that really make it here. So those that do are very fortunate, you know, to get a chance to do that. But, you know, they really are, you know, they come back and they talk about, you know, how important it was to go through the college experience. And I think that means so much to them at this level.
So then the financial side of this, the NCAA, they have been, well, like you say, they are a business. I read someplace, you know, where they were trying to say the NCAA is not a business, so you can't compare. Well, it has to be.
It is a business.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a big business. And some would say that they just didn't like to have to share their profits with these athletes. But I don't know that that's it. But this ruling in and of itself, what is it good? Do you like it? You talk with a lot of folks, former athletic directors or current athletic directors. What do they think about it?
You know, I read something the other day, and it made the most sense of anything. And they said it's like building an airplane while you're flying. and that's kind of what they feel like they're doing so much right now. You know, there's so many things. I think an entrepreneurial spirit, I think for some people, they're going to be I can almost see where you're eventually going to see so-called agents in college athletics, you know, that are going to go get, you know, some of these high school or college kids together, you know, work at the college kids are probably not going to go out to all the car dealerships and the banks and stuff and try and get sponsorship stuff. So somebody's going to do it. How the NCAA is going to control that? That is one thing I don't understand.
Well, right.
I think the doors are going to be wide open, and you know, it's even like right now, I think you have 7 states that starting July 1st, which is Thursday, all of a sudden, they're going to be able to, these kids are going to start getting paid. And the NCAA is telling schools, well, you need to set up your own policy and how you're going to do that. Well, if I'm sitting at Tennessee and I don't have what Georgia has, that's a true recruiting disadvantage. And so then things are going to happen. I mean, how they're going to control how some of this is done is still beyond me. I don't understand it.
That's why I'm laughing. I don't see how they're going to do it either. I can just see one athlete having a Coca-Cola tattoo, another athlete mm-hmm. having a Pepsi tattoo or whatever. It's just going to be confusing. Now this ruling, let's look at this in and of itself. Jim O'Day is with us here, Senior Managing Partner at Strategic Management Partners, LLC. I'll talk about what that is in a moment there. They work mostly with the venture capital groups and investment banks to seek to get innovative companies and technologies off the ground. Former athletic director. So I kind of forget where I was going with this now. Will this ruling, it dealt with education. They say the Supreme Court said offering them traditional compensation and benefits as long as they are tied to education. Will that remain?
Well, you know, again, I would want the definition. What does it mean to be associated with education? If I'm a car dealer, for example, and I say, you know what, I want the top 3 student athletes at a school to be basically my spokespeople. I'm going to put them up on billboards. I'm going to have them in the shop, you know, 2-3 times a year signing autographs. I'm going to have them and their brand associated with my car dealership. How I don't see how you're gonna control how much they're gonna do. You know, in the old days, and I don't mean that long ago, a lot of times in athletics, people that were corporate sponsors, a lot of them were doing it just to support you. Mm-hmm. It was almost like a donation.
Mm-hmm.
Today, everybody's got to have return on investment. So you're not getting a lot of people are going to say, I'm going to give you $50,000 just to advertise our product and put it up on a sign and maybe put down the radio ad and things like this and little things here and there. But I start to look back at a return on investment. If I'm a car dealer and I can get three or four or five of the most well-known student athletes in my community, and I can put them and do all of this, I might pull away a little bit from what I'm going to give, you know, to someone like Learfield's IMG Sports, you know, to like that and say, you know what, I'm going to do a little bit with them, but I can see a return on investment by having my product associated with these kids. It's the doors are so wide open. And then what are going to happen to the kids that work so hard and nobody's going after them? So you have all, you know, you're going to get your quarterbacks and your receivers and your, you know, they get all the publicity, but your linemen don't get a lot. And without your linemen, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? I see so much room in there for, you know, some injustices, for, you know, potential compliance issues. I just don't know. I mean, the door is kind of wide open, and every case will almost have to be looked upon as an individual case.
Wow. That's they'll have to have some kind of policy, and it'll take some time to work this out. I'll take a break here in just a little bit, and we'll come on back, because I want to kind of maybe in your mind, when they talk about how these benefits have to be tied to education compensation, what will that look like? Right now it's just scholarship money, books, tuition, room and board. Will it be a car? Will it be tutoring? I think some of those things are already available. You know, what's the high end of that? And then, as you had mentioned too, you have your skill positions like quarterback and receivers and things like that. You have an X amount in your budget. Are you going to have to spend more of your benefit dollars there and then not equally compensate those other athletes? What kind of dynamics does that create? We're back with more with Jim O'Day in a bit. NCAA, Wall Street Journal article on this Supreme Court NCAA ruling, and it's titled, "The Hottest Recruiting Pitch in College Sports. We Can Help You Cash In." I know that pitch has been going on for a long time, but there are a lot of athletes that play college sports and amateur sports at different levels. How will the Supreme Court ruling, which actually rejected the NCAA's limits on athletic benefits and compensation? The justices had said that colleges, the NCAA must allow colleges now to recruit athletes by offering them additional compensation as long as they are tied to education. We're chatting this one around with Jim O'Day, Senior Managing Partner at Strategic Management Partners, LLC, as I mentioned. They're a management firm that deals a lot with getting folks. Well, Jim, I'll let you talk about it. Thank you for being here. What does Senior Managing Partner do? What have you been doing for the last few years?
you sound like my kids. That's what they're saying is, Dad, what does that mean?
Yeah, you're on the golf course a lot.
Yeah, you know, I have a couple different things. I have my own consulting business, and I help a lot of different people around, especially in Montana, basically connect them with accredited investors that look for projects. I've been involved with a number of apartment projects with investors that put them and the developers together. So that keeps me pretty busy around Montana. And then with Strategic Management Partners, I have a good partner over in Rapid City, who was a major executive with BHP Billiton, handled all their offshore drilling and stuff. And we got together a couple of years ago and put some things together. And so we're working with a gold mining company over in the Black Hills. And we're working with a group out of Purdue University right now on some things that they've got, some green energy type things with fossil fuels and stuff like that. So it's always exciting. Every day is different. It's fun. I've really enjoyed it. I keep saying, you know, I'm getting closer to so-called retirement age, but, you know, I'm having more fun right now that I don't think that's probably going to be in the cards.
Yeah, good to hear that. You know, I've had success at the University of Montana, too. the Sterling Savings President's Club Trophy. School won that twice. That's the most well-rounded intercollegiate program in the Big Sky Conference. And a lot of that based on academic standards as well. 17 Big Sky Conference championships, including 6 in football, 4 women's basketball, 3 in men's basketball. I'm going to give this off here because I was there. Won each in women's golf, cross country, soccer, men's tennis. It was a pretty good time for athletics at the University of Montana. Before I get back into that question we left about, you know, what would those benefits look like, how does this affect institutions like Montana and Montana State? And then let's go down to the Frontier Conference and Dillon and Haver and Butte. How does this affect, I'm sorry, Helena, don't forget Carroll, don't forget Great Falls. Anyway, how does this affect all these smaller schools, Jim?
Well, you know, that's something that's going to be out there that I think is still the uncertain. You know, one thing I was reading the other day, and I do some consulting work still for a group out of Atlanta, Georgia, collegiate consulting. And so I stay in pretty good touch with them. And, you know, those are things that they have to look at all the time. What's the future? What's going to happen? You know, what are we going to be responsible for? And, you know, trying to look in that crystal ball is hard because it changes so much. But there's a lot of things that just take a lot more time. So we really don't know, but when you start to look at this, one thing that I read the other day, and it made great sense, it said we're more likely going to see more change here. The last time we've seen anything in comparison is when Title IX came in. So, you know, not to overemphasize or underemphasize that, it's going to be a big deal. How it plays out is what the key is going to be, you know, how it's going to play out in every area. But you know, let's take a frontier school. Let's take someone like Carroll College. Say Carroll College has got a couple of very well-known student athletes, women's basketball, men's basketball, football, you know, track and field or whatever, who are very prominent in the Helena community.
Yeah.
They're going to prosper as well because they are a good, you know, people want their brand associated with the people that people want to be in touch with.
Yeah, and these students, you know, built their own brand, too, so to speak.
They built their own brand. I mean, I think back, and I mean, to make it simple, and not to puff up my buddy Dave Dickinson, but, you know, Dave would be a perfect example. Think of what all Dave Dickinson meant to the University of Montana. Mm-hmm. Now, what would his value be if I had a car dealership or I had a bank or whatever, that I could, you know, keep Dave Dickinson's brand associated with mine? How many people is that going to bring into either my dealership or my bank or whatever? And I have his picture plastered all on all billboards, and I have him on my radio shows. That I mean, you can look at that and go, wow, he could make some money. And you look at some of the big time people, the kids that are going to be, for example, that are going to be being pushed for Heisman trophies and things like that. There's some, everybody wants to be involved. You get to that SEC level. And the one thing, I mean, we talk about how passionate our fan bases are here in Montana. We went to Tennessee in 2011. And one of the reasons I wanted us to go to a place like that in the SEC is to see where true passion is. I mean, every game they go to, I mean, for your seats that are high, you're probably paying at least $1,000 a year. I mean, they're so passionate, but those people all want to be tied to that person or those people. And at the same time, I mean, you could see things coming through the years where coaches are getting paid these multi-million dollar contracts and administrators were getting, you know, these, you know, at the big time, they were making millions of dollars. And here are these kids that are allowing you to be successful. And they're, you know, they're getting a college scholarship. Let's not say that that's so bad. And I was always one in my last few years in athletics. I always believed in the cost of attendance. And people would always say, well, you just believe in that because Montana has so much money. And I said, we really don't. You know, mm-hmm. we have a very passionate group of fans who provide us with the resources to allow that. But, you know, you have to look at the deal in a college scholar, athletic scholarship versus an academic scholarship. And more of an academic, you get more, you know, more of a cash. Here's how much we give you. Well, they can pay for pizza at night. They can pay for gas in their car. They can pay for things like that, that the student athlete scholarship did not allow for. And so when school started to allow this cost of attendance, basically the difference in those two, the academic and the athletic scholarship, which might mean in a year, maybe $3,000 or $4,000 in cash that a student athlete on a full ride scholarship would get. You know, to me, I thought that was fair. And I think, you know, I think people were happy with that. I think maybe University of Montana, Montana State are finally now starting to get into that. I know that the North Dakota schools, they had it, James Madison, and then of course the Wyomings and the, you know, the Boise States and all those guys, all the FBS schools are giving it. But it started to bring out again how much money was going out to things while these student athletes were the reason that everything was, why the bills were being paid.
Yeah.
And they started looking and saying, you schools are making X amount of money. You got a Texas and you got an Ohio State and their annual budget's $200 and some million. And they're thinking, yeah, that's great. I'm getting a college scholarship. Wonderful. But you know what? You're expecting me to work 12 months out of the year, you know, to give up a minimum of 20 hours a week. I can go to work at McDonald's or Burger King and make a lot more and be in better shape. I think I deserve some more money. So you could see how labor laws, people start to look at labor laws and say, you know what? I mean, you have to pay them at least minimum wage, And that's how things are, I think, getting totally out of hand.
And it, I hate to say, you know, it happened when real money came in. But it did sort of kind of explode with the popularity of college football, right? That's when the a lot more money
television. And don't ever forget the Final Four in basketball.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that thing pays for, I believe, 88 out of 89 championships.
Wow.
Just that one basketball tournament, you know, the NCAA basketball, men's basketball tournament. And you look at that, and I mean, it pays for the championships in tennis and soccer and kayaking and everything out there except and basketball. Football is a different story because the bowls are a separate piece, not really controlled by the NCAA, although the NCAA does give its blessing to them. But that's where even the college football playoffs and things like that, that's where they're getting their money that is not tied to the basketball tournament. But most everything else is.
And of course, you know, like you say, that you know, these other sports don't happen without without that money either. What about these benefits? We kind of talked about them a little bit. What they might be? Let me ask you this question: what do you think kids need that they're not getting? And let's not look at the superstar athletes who are going to make a zillion dollars, playing professional sports. What do the average amateur athlete, the college athlete, needs when it comes to benefits that they can get because of this ruling tied to education?
You know, that's going to be a good question. If I am somebody like Trevor Lawrence at Clemson the last couple of years, I know that my brand is worth millions of dollars to that university. We're on TV all the time, which helps bring, attention to students who might want to go to Clemson. You know, if I'm one of those players, I'm worth probably millions of dollars, and they're probably going to get it at that level. At our level, you're going to see some kids. You know, I take a Troy Anderson from Montana State is probably a good example. I mean, if he can stay healthy, he's a great NFL prospect. You know, he's got so many great tools. You know, what's he going to be worth to Montana, you know, with his brand and his association with Montana State? Not the multi-millions, but, you know, probably a pretty good sum.
Yeah, yeah, and rightly so. Okay.
Excuse me.
There's other things I kind of want to get into. Can you stick around for a while?
Sure.
All right.
You bet.
All right. I appreciate that because a couple of things, like I talked about, how big the benefits can get. But I'm curious now as to the NCAA's ability to maybe even get a handle on this. They have a blanket policy, a stopgap measure, as I said. This initial NCAA or Supreme Court ruling would have affected just a handful of states, six or seven. Mm-hmm. And so the NCAA said, okay, we're going to blanket this across all 50 states to allow athletes to make money on their name, image, and likeness. And this starts as soon as July 1st. They are behind the curve on this because there's been, a dozen or so state legislatures that have done this. And as a matter of fact, they were sued. This Supreme Court ruling upholds a lower court ruling. So are they on their heels? And how are they going to be able to respond? We'll come on back with more from Jim O'Day. It's from Montana for Montana. Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
We're just mulling it around. We're just thinking about this. The NCAA probably should have been thinking about these things ahead of this Supreme Court ruling came down last week where they say, you know what? Athletes are entitled, even though they are amateurs, they're still entitled to additional compensation and benefits from different colleges as they are allowed or able, still tied to education. Jim O'Day is with us, as I mentioned, former athletic director, University of Montana, spent some time up there in Cut Bank, spent some time also as a sports editor for the Kalispell Daily Interlake, had the Western Breeze going for a while, and now the senior managing partner at Strategic Management Partners, LLC. Jim, again, it's good catching up with you, and I appreciate this. Some of these things we knew were coming to a head from the NCAA. Let's just start with, how damaged is this institution? Can they get a handle on all these changes that that seem to have just come in lumps here?
Yeah, I've got they have their challenges. I just sit there and I look and think, man, there's a lot of different things coming at the NCAA in a lot of different ways. You know, and sometimes you wonder, you can look at it. There's always been that talk about the Power Five conferences and stuff wanting to do their own thing. Is this going to be one thing that's going to really make that push? Who knows? Nobody wants to talk about that. That's kind of a taboo type thing, but because there's always that fear because they could take all their money with them or a majority of that money with them. And, these schools all rely on that so much that they worry about that. There's some good things that are going on. I see with the college football playoff. I know they're talking maybe getting 12 teams in that playoff versus the four, which would then give each of the conferences that are at the FBS level a representative in that playoff, because that thing brings in so much money. But, again, that's not necessarily tied to the NCAA. So you're looking at all these different scenarios and saying, here's what we need out of the NCAA. What direction are you giving us? Well, right now, everybody is scrambling on this NIL situation. There's a lot of scrambling going on right now with the one-time transfer. So in addition to everything else that's going on out there, I mean, the NCAA really has its hands full.
Should talk about that transfer rule a little bit because, and I'll let you explain it. It's relatively new, a policy, so to speak, and I think it's kind of been causing havoc.
Well, again, you kind of go to, unfair labor laws and things like that. I mean, the NCAA probably has had a situation for many, many years, where it was able to do things kind of like the old handshake in a contract business. things have changed so much. I mean, we've got to do so many more things. But, it's one of those things. I always believe try and get out in front of things versus always constantly, doing things after it's already happened. You always get into more and more trouble that way. And it's like right now, I think you're going to see people in this NIL, and I mean, they're just going to go. And I mean, schools are all some of the big schools are already working with their student and athletes to teach them how to go out and get sponsorship by things that'll be acceptable. Well, I mean, they have been out in front of it. And the ones that are hanging behind are going to be the ones that are going to struggle. But you go into the one-time transfer situation, and, kids have always been able to transfer. It's not, it's not a fun thing. No one likes it. Personally, I didn't like it. But you know what? Some people, if you look at it from a job perspective, they don't stay at the same job all the time. Things don't work. Maybe they're not a good fit or whatever. But, you know, it used to be you had to really go to your coach and say, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. I'd like to transfer. And that was hard enough as it was. And then if you went, you know, to a certain level, say you were at the FBS level and you want to go to the FCS level, you know, you could come down. But if you were moving around, say I went from, you know, Georgia to Tennessee, for example, I would have to sit out a year. Well, now you get in the transfer portal, which is open 365 days a week, a year. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm not happy with something today. I can jump in there and I'm fair game tomorrow. Now, how many of those kids are going to get picked up is what's going to be interesting. I think if you saw men's basketball this year at the end of the season, I believe there are like 4,200 student athletes in the men's division that got in the transfer portal. You're probably going to get 800 of them who are going to find new jobs. So what's going to happen, you know, when school starts and all these kids, you know, they don't have anywhere to go. And, you know, that I don't think that's doing a service to anybody because, you know, some kids may quit. They might not be able to, you know, they might be done. Who knows what that? I mean, those are all things that are, again, history will always tell that story as well. So, you know, what I would love to have seen, and again, it's simple, but, you know, you invest a lot of money in the kids in your recruiting. And, you know, I mean, I'd love to have been where you look at it and say, okay, yeah, I understand that, but here's the deal. If you take my kid that I had last year, you pay his scholarship or her scholarship. Now, all of a sudden, some of the bigger schools are going to be real skeptical about taking kids. And I think then if you had just a minimum number of kids that were going to be moving around, it wouldn't be as big a deal. But right now it just makes it so easy. You might, I mean, look at Eastern Washington's men's basketball team. I think they've lost 8 or 9 other top players. I mean, they should have gone in as the preseason favorite. And now they're probably going to be predicted to be, you know, toward the bottom.
Yeah. And it's really hard on coaches. It's really hard on administrators. Oh. How many kids though are we really talking about? Even at that, elite level. Because I think, well, you look at the NBA or college basketball, you know, it was a one-and-done situation. You don't necessarily have that ability in college, although some may. But I think you're trying to recruit people who want that college experience, athletes who want to be a part of their institution. You've been in the middle of that. And I know it's hard to say because the FCS and the FCS FBS are just two different levels in a lot of ways. But how many kids are actually like that are just interested in making the money, and how many would be okay going, you know, I want to represent Montana State or Montana?
You know, I think as far as the Montana schools go, I think we're going to be okay, you know, because I think what they do is they recruit the right kids who know that they're a good fit for Bozeman or Missoula. And I think that's enough. But, you know, one of the things I have said, and I really believe this, where you're going to see it, and I don't like this, people say, well, you know, we got a star quarterback here. Well, he may or may not go. Or we've got a star women's basketball player, tennis player, whatever. But I look at it a little bit and go, you know, if I were a coach and I was at the level, for example, say I was at Nevada or Boise State or whatever, I'm not going to necessarily take the running back. I've got some good high school. I got some good young running backs. I got some good young receivers. Quarterback, if they really are exceptional, a real strong arm, really, I might look at, I'm going to go look at linemen, because linemen, they're going to have spent a number of years in the weight room. They're going to be ones who have, you know, really changed. I mean, their physical presence is going to change. You get a lot of kids here, and I think Montana and Montana State are very good about getting maybe a 6'5 high school kid who maybe is a wrestler or a basketball player in the other season, had good feet, good hands, whatever, but they're only weighing about 220 pounds. Well, by the time they're end of their sophomore year, they're probably, you know, 285. Why wouldn't I go get that kid versus, you know, going to find a high school kid who might be even at the top level, you know, 6'5 and maybe 230. You still got to put 50 pounds on them. And so at Montana State, you can see they lost one of their top linemen that way. I think the lineman is who we could really lose at this level. And if you have a good inside player in basketball, the places where they're hard to find and you see somebody, I mean, I look at that kid that was at Eastern Washington last year, inside the two inside players. Well, one of them, I think, is going to Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. I mean, they'd love to have a big guy like that who's mobile and can do some things and probably can play 2 years for them this year because of the COVID situation. So those are the kind of things that, you know, you think all of a sudden I got some really good player. I'm building up on these really good players. All of a sudden they're gone. And you're like, wow, this is not the way it used to be. It used to be I could keep everybody for four or 5 years.
And build a team. Yeah.
And build a team.
Yeah. Yep. Now you got to piecemeal them together. One more question here, Jim, and I appreciate your time. Jim O'Day with Strategic Management Partners, LLC, former University of Montana athletic director, Cutbank native too. Does this solve, I mean, will it turn into pay to play? And does this solve some of the shenanigans, or they might as well address it, that can happen with boosters and such who are doing this sort of thing under the table anyway?
Well, that's the one thing that everybody's worried about, and rightfully so. I mean, how do you control that? You know, how do you, when I was at the University of Montana, I mean, literally, you could not buy a student athlete. If you saw a student athlete, you could not take them to dinner deals like that.
Right. Yeah.
You could not buy them a hamburger. You couldn't do anything, or it's a complaint. Right now, that's so simple. It's almost like, you know, let's throw that one away. Let's take this compliance booklet that's, you know, about a foot in height. You know, let's narrow it right down here so that we can handle these situations. Those are all going to be big questions heading down the road. And I don't know how you stop it. I just think, you know, with everybody making their own rules right now, until something, you know, whether Congress comes in or the NCAA comes in and establishes some guidelines, more than likely you're going to have legal fights against it. It's going to be years before this all comes down to a spot that these are the rules. This is the way we play it. Everyone's going to play by the same rules. Right now, it's just chaos. It's chaos for everybody. And it's, you know, it's not fair to the coaches, the administrators, the schools. It's just a very, very unique time in intercollegiate athletics.
It's just chaos. I mean, it is. I can appreciate that because, like you said, there's so many questions that remain unanswered. What are the next steps? So many different directions to go. People will take every which way when they decide to step out in this regard, and then getting that back herded in again, it's going to be difficult. So I appreciate it that the NCAA kind of removed or moved at least quickly in this regard in making some interim policies, but they can't wait long. They can't wait long because it'll get back into the courts, and if it's not back, I mean, if it's not decided and back in the courts, then all of these questions remain. So they got to get on it.
Well, even with the NCAA coming and giving what it has said the last couple of days, you still have seven states who now have laws on their books that are allowing this.
Yep. And then you throw in
and Montana will be here there in July 1 of next year.
Yeah. And then you throw in sports betting, which is more and more legalized across the country. And it gets
how do you
tough.
Control all that? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a totally different time. Thank God, you know, in a couple months we'll be able to watch games.
Yeah.
And we'll forget about all this. We'll be enjoying it. We'll be watching everything. And all the headaches will still be on administration and things like that. But coaches will be coaching and players will be playing. And after that, everybody else will be working harder than they ever have. And they all work very, very hard.
I know.
It's going to be a tough profession, I think, for a while.
Well, it was great chatting with you and catching up with you, Jim O'Day. You were a great athletic director there at the University of Montana, as I mentioned. 17 Big Sky Conference championships under that time, and then Strategic Management Partners LLC. Look them up if you're an innovative company that's looking for some venture capital help. That's fair to say, isn't it, Jim?
Well, you betcha, and I appreciate that. And Yeah, I always look back at my time at the University of Montana and say, boy, we a lot of us that have left the place, retired or whatever since then, we had a great run. It was unbelievable, hard to match all that. A lot of different things change over times, but you look back at that and say, man, you were lucky because you worked with so many great people.
Yep, and it was a lot of fun. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody else. It was a lot of fun.
It was.
Yeah. Jim, thank you. Okay, take care. We'll catch up with you again, all right?
Thank you, Tom. Take care, everybody.
Yeah. We're back with more Voices in just a bit.